Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and that's the name of my website, too. It's crosstheborder.org. My name's Nicholas, and these days we're going through the scripture, and at my website you'll see some studies posted there that we've done recently. I've decided to redo all of my postings, so you won't find any of the older Bible studies there, but only the newer ones, because I've learned so much since I started on this journey of going through the entire scripture and doing it on the air and in a chapter by chapter, book by book, and verse by verse format. We've ended up in Proverbs. And we're just going to pick up this morning in chapter 28 and verse 1, since I didn't mark my exact place that I left off, but I know we were in verse 28, and I'm pretty sure that we're going to finish Proverbs today. Pretty sure. We've got 2 hours. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The wicked flee. You know, I can say when I was a young man, when I was a teenager, that I was a wicked young man. There's no doubt about it. I had no clue what the truth was. Pretty much was brought up by myself, being an orphan. And the greatest wisdom that I achieved was from my peer group, because I was in the public school system. And anyone who thinks that they need to send their children to public school so they can learn social skills is gravely mistaken. I've known both homeschoolers and public school children, and the ones that have the greatest social skills are the ones that are homeschooled, because they deal with all age groups, not just their peers, and they deal with them all on an equal social basis. If I can say that in a way that it's understood, the way I'm trying to convey it. But they're with an equal ability to socialize with all those age groups, those peer groups, not just their own peer group. The segregation that is endemic, a part of the public school system, is not a good thing. It retards social skills. That's why you'll see that if you go to someone who is public schooled, they don't know how to converse. They don't know how to relate to an older man. As a matter of fact, they may look down on them and scorn them, because in their peer group, those are just old, stupid people. And the only wise ones are the ones that are teaching them in the public schools, and the ones that bring them into their own peer group to socialize only with their peers. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. So when you bring a bunch of children together that are the same age to socialize and spend most of the time together, well, you're going to have a lot of foolishness going on. But getting back to the point, when I was a teenager, didn't know the truth, never read the Bible, no one told me about God, no one told me that God had a son, didn't know any of that. I was just a wicked teenage boy, out trying to get whatever I could for myself, because, well, that's what I was learning in the public school system, not to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and that He would then provide all my needs. Oh, no, I wasn't being taught that. I was being taught that it was a dog-eat-dog world, and of course I had to educate myself so I could climb up on over other people and get a better position in life by taking whatever I could. That's what I learned in the world. And, you know, I mean, our Messiah did not lie when He said, after all these things, do the nations seek, do the Gentiles seek? Because He was talking about things, you know, the things that you need for your life. You know, it's not enough now just to have transportation, an adequate vehicle. You got to have a better one, because now it's part of your identity. It's who you are in the world. Well, that's the kind of training I got. So I was a wicked young man, and I did some things that were against the law, of course, and I fled when no man pursued. So I can identify with the scripture, the wicked flee when no man pursues, because I've done it. I've been there. But the righteous are bold as a lion. Yes, as I go through the Proverbs, these thoughts pop up in my head, and I can identify with them. I can see the wisdom of them. And certainly the one who wrote the Proverbs certainly experienced many of the same things that I experienced, just under different circumstances. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. And we discussed that yesterday. That's the reason we have so many lawmakers and so many people working in government, that but because of the transgression of the land. That's the government just cannot leave you alone. I keep hearing stories, like I heard one this morning about a man got arrested, fingerprinted, thrown in jail, and got his DNA taken because he was accused of littering an apple core, which he claims he did not even do that. I guess the little Nazi cop saw the man walk over an apple core and wanted to pin it on him. What a crime. But that's the way it is. And that's what the scripture is conveying here to us when it says, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. So we have more than half of the people working in the government to control the other half of the people. How about that? Do they control themselves? Well, they control themselves too. They're the ones who are really out of control. And they got half the people in the government are there to control the other people, and then half of them are there to control the half that are controlling the other half. But it's because of the transgression of the land. And that's just the state of the nation. We discussed that yesterday. I think I need to move ahead, try to figure out where I left off so we don't cover a lot of the same ground. So if you want to know, go into depth on what I had to say about these things, you can go to the archives for yesterday's show or the last segment of the Proverbs study. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. Evil men understand not judgment. He that by usury, this must be about where we left off. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 8. He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. Okay, I was way past that. I guess that was about where I was at. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. There you go. And you see it. You especially see like these actors, you know, their credentials are, I'm an actor. Therefore, I'm wise because everybody's paying attention to me, and they get rich and they think there's something they're not. But it says the poor hath understanding and searches him out. And then you have all the simple-minded ones that just gloat and follow these people, you know, read these tabloids and stuff. It's just idolatry of men. It's something women too. Just goes on and on. Some things never change. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Well, that's the position. Well, I guess I did a little confession today. I told you when I was a teenager, I was a wicked, wicked young man. I confessed my sins, though. And I know I've forsaken that way of life. And he has shown me mercy. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Now, there's a lot of people out there, they have the idea that later on, you know, that they'll get right with God later on. It's kind of foolish. I mean, for me, you know, I can't understand, but I know that there are people out there that think like that. I'll get it together later on. But, you know, God understands why right now I can't pay attention to him, why I can't pay attention to his law, because, you know, I got to get it together. I got to get my things. That's what they think. And then when I get my things, then I'll be good and I'll be generous and I'll go to church and I'll tithe and all that stuff. And I'll start reading the Bible and I'll learn all about God. But all the while, all that time, their heart is getting harder and harder. Happy is the man that feareth always. And what do you fear? Well, we fear God. We fear to not keep his commandments. Because there is a price for sin. There's a price immediately for sin in this life, you know, especially if you get caught by the magistrate whose job is to punish evildoers. And that's the only reason a lot of people don't do more evil than they do, because they fear getting punished by the magistrate. They fear getting punished by the civil authority, because that's the job of the civil authority. But we're to fear God. We should fear to do that which we could even get away with, where we prosper from evil or theft. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. As a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. The prince that wanteth understanding, also a great oppressor. The prince that wanteth understanding, that means the prince that doesn't have understanding. Otherwise, he wouldn't be wanting. We're using wanting in an older English sense here. It's not a prince that desires understanding, but he's wanting for understanding, is also a great oppressor. But he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. And why should we hate covetousness? I heard someone say on another program that we're not under the Ten Commandments. Well, you know what? We could choose to be under the Ten Commandments, and it wouldn't be a problem. It wouldn't be a problem for me, because I hate covetousness. I hate it. Why? Because he hates it. Because my Heavenly Father hates covetousness, and the law says, the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not covet anything. He that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once, suddenly, and be over with. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessing, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect of persons is not good. For a piece of bread, that man will transgress. To respect of persons, to have respect of persons is not good. So speaking of that man, for a piece of bread, he will transgress. For any gain, you know, he will transgress. Someone who has respect of persons. So what does it mean to have respect of persons? It means to do injustice because you favor the unjust person over the one that is just. To have respect of persons is not good. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother, and saith, it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in Yahuwah, in the Lord, shall be made fat. We aren't talking about obesity here. So you gotta love this, the King James, language, the early English. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Well, isn't that what they teach you in the world today? Isn't that what the idolatry of romance is all about? Just follow your heart. Trust in your heart. Uh-huh. There you go. That's the idolatry of romance, is to trust in your own heart. Because the heart is, what does the scripture say? Well, it says it's wicked. That's what it says. Your own heart. We're not to trust in it. So he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. So basically the point is here to trust in your own heart, to follow your heart, as the idolatry of romance requires, is the opposite of walking wisely. There you go. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves. But when they perish, the righteous increase. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Boy, you know, there's a lot of people mourning today. I'll tell you that. I hear the lament all the time. Oh, where's it going to end? The prices of gas and food just keep going up and up. The heavy weight of government constantly upon us. They raise the price of the commodities. They raise the prices of the necessities of life. And then they lay heavy burdens on us and, you know, mandate that we purchase and do business with people that have made deals with the legislature so that they can enrich themselves. You know, everyone goes along, oh, because it's all, you know, the intentions are good. It's like the insurance scheme, you know, that insurance scheme, the one where all the big insurance companies or those who own them got together with certain legislators and they said, hey, you know, we got some good intentional ideas here. Yes, indeed. Why don't we require everyone to have insurance? And that way, you know, whatever. For what reason? You know, but they sold it, didn't they? And now everyone who drives and everyone's going, oh, we've all been so brainwashed. Oh, that's a good idea. What a good idea. That's a great idea, isn't it? But, you know, well, I guess that's all right for the pagans, you know. But how about us, you know, that are the followers of Messiah, those of us that hold up the scripture as our law, that will walk into their courts holding the book in our hands, say, I brought my book of the law. And it says, my son, if sinners entice thee, and then you let the court know that everyone out there that's participating in this scheme is a sinner because they're breaking God's law. So we've defined sinner, not to offend anyone. Okay. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. Yes. Cast in your lot with us. Put your money in our purse. We'll all have one purse, of course. The legislature and the rich people and the insurance company, they're going to hold the purse, mind you. That's right. That's the whole idea. That's why they had the legislation pass and convinced everyone of their good intentions so that they could hold the purse. And well, you know what happens when you hold a purse, big purse full of, you know, billions and or millions and billions of dollars? You know what happens? My goodness, you suddenly get hundreds of thousands of dollars for your salary every year. I mean, how could you? It's a big responsibility to hold on those millions and millions and billions of everybody's dollars that they're forced to pay by legislation. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. You can go back to Proverbs chapter 1. You know, we covered that. That's where that's at. Cast in your lot among us. Sinner, that's what the sinners are saying. They're enticing you. They come on. Let us wait. Let us do it privately. Mm-hmm. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. It goes for the lottery too. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not. Now, what part of not do I not understand? Walk not. Can I do it if I'm sitting down? Go to e-insurance, son, online. I'm sitting down. I'm walking not. Yeah, right. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path and all of their surety, social insurance and social surety insurance security schemes. The scripture says, my son, walk not. Yeah. I'm beginning to understand that there's no way out of that. When it says walk not, you know, which part of walk not do I not understand? Refrain thy foot from their path. Well, I'm refraining my foot from their path. So if they want to haul me into their courts for not participating in what their law says that I have to participate in, well, I can walk in there with my law book and say, look, and I could say, your first law says that Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise of religion. Well, this law prohibits me from exercising my religion freely. Therefore, the law of my God, which is hundreds and thousands of years old, which was here at the beginning of this nation, before all of your laws were written, it trumps your law because your first law says that if you write any law that prohibits me from free exercise of my religion, that it doesn't apply to me. It's something I need to volunteer for. It's something I have to consider whether my religion prohibits that or it's prohibiting the free exercise of my religion. But hey, you know what? If you're going to a state corporation, church, so-called, because it's really an oxymoron, you can't be a church of our Heavenly Father, a church of God, and a state corporation at the same time, you know, because which God, you know? So they can't preach that message, though. They couldn't preach what I'm preaching right now because it goes against public policy. And they've signed an agreement that they'll go along with public policy, whatever that is, whenever it is, and whatever it may turn out to be anytime they want to change public policy. And that's what they've agreed to. They've agreed to a wave on the ocean, you know. They've agreed to, the wind. Because it can change at any time. But I can hold in my hand the book of the law, and I know it's not going to change. I've got a God who never changes, says he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know his law isn't going to change. It's a sure thing. And I can walk in there with my law book, and I know when I open that book, it's going to say the same thing. And if I don't have my book, and there's another true copy of that book, the law, the book of the law, I can open it up, and I know what it's going to say. Because it's not going to change. Because our God never changes. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And the mourning, like I said, the heavy burdens. The rich are oppressing the poor by changing the money, by raising the prices, by laying heavy burdens on the people so that they can barely afford. I mean, they have become abject slaves of those that are in rulership over them, of those that are rich. They become slaves. And that's what the point is. They want your labor. They want your life. They want it all. They want the gift that God gave you. Because my life is a gift from God. Your life is a gift from God. Your labor is a gift from God. Your life and your labor is a gift from God. And that's all they can steal from you. And that's all they want. They want your life and your labor. They want you to pour it out so they can take it away and enrich themselves and fill their houses full of goods, as it says in Proverbs chapter 1, when they beg you, oh, come on, sign up, be a voter. And then to say, did you vote? I love that question. You know, if you complain about something, they go, did you vote? And if you say no, we'll say, well, then you can't complain. I beg to differ. If you vote, you can't complain because you've become a participant. You cast in your lot. How can you complain? You've agreed to the whole thing. The only ones who have the right to complain are the ones who don't participate. It's better to live a righteous life than to participate than to cast in your lot with sinners, with the ungodly. The scripture says, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. That's what the New Testament says. So nothing's really changed. The Old Testament says, cast not your lot in with sinners. Don't do it. Refrain your foot from their path. Nothing has changed. It's the same word. His law hasn't changed from Old to New Testament. The more I read, the more I realize that he is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.